When I share words, often they're a challenge to me before they're a challenge to you. And I hope that this morning this speaks to you. And I hope there's some things in it that will really open up your eyes. Now, have you ever felt unprepared? Okay, you have a presentation or a meeting that you didn't have chance to prepare for. So for instance, I know one week I came here and I hadn't made any notes and my slides weren't even working. And it was like, how am I going to do my talk? Because I'm just going with the slides. Fortunately, I was able to use my computer. But that moment, your heart drops, doesn't it, a little bit? Oh, I'm not ready. I'm not sure how this is going to go. And you have to wing it. Anybody ever done that? Wing it? Wing it. You wing it. You do your best. But really, you're kind of making it up as you go along. It's a tricky thing. And how do you feel when that happens? Anxious, fearful, worried, all of those things might be in your heart, yeah? I mean, I know one story, I'll tell you a funny story. For those of you who are still at school, make sure you prepare and you listen to your teacher. I had some kids who I asked to do presentations on the seven churches. It is seven in Revelation, isn't it? I've got it right. And one of them was Philadelphia. And I said to this group, please don't talk about Philadelphia in America. It's not Philadelphia in America. It is Philadelphia in what was Asia Minor, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so I get to the day of presentation. They have prepared, but they haven't done their research. They've used ChatGPT, I believe. And so in the room, I get a presentation. Well, the church in Philadelphia is approximately this size. It's in this city. What's the history of the city? They give me the history. And so at the end of it, I said, well, that was very nice, but absolutely not what you should have prepared for. And so the other point is that sometimes we prepare for the wrong thing as well. And we need to make sure we're getting ready in the right way and that we are ready for things. And actually, we're going to be moving into a series up until Easter saying, are you ready? Now, why are we saying that? I don't know if you remember Godfrey Birtle, some of you might. He wrote a song called Are You Ready, Ready, Ready? Ring-a-ding-ding-ding. And it was about being ready for the revival, really. Glory of God in the kitchen, in the dentist chair, checking out your teeth. That was what the song said. And we need to be ready for Jesus' return in one sense, don't we? But there's two things to this, and I want to point this out to you. Are you ready? If Jesus did return tomorrow, would you be ready? Now, we have to be careful with this because, you know, some people have pointed out, oh, there's going to be a rapture, and a bunch of people were waiting somewhere, weren't they, having been told there'd be a rapture, and they sold things and did crazy stuff, and in the end, there wasn't a rapture. And so we need to be a little careful about what we believe, but we know we're nearer to Jesus' return than we were before, don't we? The other thing is, we don't know, none of us know what tomorrow holds. And so if tomorrow you were to meet your maker, are you ready for that? I hope I am. I was challenged when I looked at this. I thought, well, really, if it was to end tomorrow, am I ready? Do I know him well enough? Will I be fearful or will I be happy? Because there's two responses when you meet God, isn't there? And so we need to think about those things. And we're going to look at a number of things over the next months. We're going to look at some parables to start with that Jesus spoke about. Things he said about what was going to happen. And Jesus told parables to illustrate points. He was using culture of the time. He was explaining things with stories. We're then going to look at some important topics like forgiveness. How are you living in forgiveness? Like worship. Do you know what worship truly is? And are you living a life of worship? We're going to look at some of the stuff to do with the seven churches in the book of Revelation and who Jesus was when he came. You know, we get a glorified picture of Jesus in eternity in Revelation. So we're going to look at some of these things. And hopefully over these weeks, this will lead us to being those people who are prepared, who aren't nervous, who aren't fearful. But when we do meet our maker, in whatever way that is, we will be prepared and we'll be like, I know him, I have nothing to fear because he loves me and I'm safe and secure in his arms. So that's where we're headed. So today we're going to look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay, the parable of 10 ladies who were waiting for a bridegroom. We'll explain a little bit of this story because for some of us that might be a bit tricky to understand why this was happening, and we're going to have to understand the context of this. But it's Matthew 25 and verses 1 to 13. So if you want to turn to your Bible, you may. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Have I got that up there? Oh, look, it's on the screen. Wow. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with the lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Amen. Challenging word, interesting. Context of this word is following on from Matthew chapter 24, which actually we'll come back and look at. Matthew 24 is Jesus talking about signs of the ends of the age, okay? Things like there will be wars, there will be rumors of wars, these things are birth pains, you know, those kind of things are in Matthew 24. And then he tells this story, which is interesting, isn't it? It follows on and it gives us some understanding of what that is all about. So, firstly, the hour is unknown. The hour is unknown. So let's just break this down a little bit, because you might be sitting there going, why 10 virgins? What was that about? And why did they all wait for the bride? You know, English culture, how do weddings happen in English culture? Who's waiting at the front? Someone tell me, who's waiting at the front? The groom, yeah? So this is kind of mixed up to us because normally we wait for the bride to arrive. She comes in, processes down, and the groom is waiting at the front. In Jewish culture at the time, it was different. What would happen is the bride and her attendants, so let's call the 10 virgins her attendants, it's a better way of looking at it, her friends, her bridesmaids, if you like, would be with her, and they would be having a celebration overnight, really, a party, if you like. Sounds like fun, actually. I think I would quite enjoy that. So they're having a party, and they're waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, and he doesn't give a time. There's no, like, he will come at this time. He will come at some point during that party. And so they have to wait and prepare. And the reason they had the lamps, so these guys were all waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. Yes, does that make sense? And the timing of that as well, the midnight thing, is not that he was going to arrive at midnight. It was that, well, actually, we don't really know when he's going to arrive. It's going to be through the night, and it could be at midnight. Yeah. In other words, that is unknown when he's going to arrive. So that is the context and the understanding of why this was happening, which might be a bit upside down for us, but we need to understand that. Yes. And there are a number of things in this story that represent certain things of the kingdom. So firstly, it was a wedding feast. It was a celebration. It was a joyful occasion. And when the groom came in, that was the high point. Everybody would go in. The marriage would happen. Everything was going to take place, yes? And it represents the feast in heaven. At the end of the age, there will be a feast in heaven. There will be a celebration when all things have passed. We read in Revelation, don't we? The former things will pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. There will be no more tears, no more crying. All of those things, we believe, will come to pass. That's going to be a celebration, isn't it? Yes. It's going to be a celebration, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, just imagine it. You know, our world, think about the best things in our world without any of the bad stuff. That's what I like to say. I mean, it's a bit childish, isn't it? Maybe you're sat there going, yeah, he's making it a bit simple. But I, you know, Jesus said, unless you come like children, you'll not inherit the kingdom. And I like to look at these things simply in one sense. And if you look at it simply, think about the best things. Think about the beautiful sunshine today and the countryside and the wonderful relationships and the great things in your life without any of the stuff that is not meant to be there because the brokenness of sin and evil in the world. Won't that be amazing? And that's the celebration we'll be going to. So that's the wedding feast. The bridegroom in this story, I've put the bride, typo, sorry, the bridegroom is Jesus, yeah? Okay, and he's the one who's going to come for us. He's the one we're waiting for. He's the one who has already achieved it on the cross. Do you know the great news as well? I was listening to N.T. Wright this week. Now, some of you might not like him because some people see him as left wing. Let's not go there. Anyway, he was saying that often we look at this end time stuff, but we miss what's happening now. Because the kingdom of heaven is now and not yet. Yes? In other words, you can have a little bit of that heaven on earth. We see glimpses of that heaven into our lives now, like when someone's healed, or when someone's set free, or when we see God's power at work in our lives. And that's not just for the future. Jesus has already come on the cross. He's already defeated the works of the enemy. And you can take that work now, even in this life, and go, yes, I have a little bit of heaven on earth now. Amen? And so Jesus is the one who is coming, the bridegroom. And of course, the 10 attendants, if you like, the 10 ladies, the bridesmaids, whatever you want to call them, that's like us. It's like our response to God, okay? And so that's the picture. So all that said, what can you take from that? I mean, you might be sitting there going, oh, it's going on, what's that about? Well, it is about this. It is about the fact that you need to be ready. We don't know when Jesus will return. No one knows. Jesus said, only the Father knows. He didn't even know. In his time on earth, he didn't know. And he said, only the Father knows. So some will come and say, here he is or there he is. Don't go there. Everyone will know when Jesus returns. It will be clear. Okay? And so we must be preparing ourselves as the hour is not known. Now, there's many teachings on different ideas about end times things, dispensational teaching, and I'm not going to go into that. I taught it at school, and there are different brands of church that will teach different things. There's a rapture and a millennium kingdom and all these things. The main thing, though, is that you know, however Jesus comes back, you're ready. Yeah? Because some of those things are not absolutely crystal clear in the Bible, and that's why people have different ideas of how those things might come to pass. But what is absolutely crystal clear is that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead and he is coming back. However that happens, yeah? And so we can agree to differ. Some of you will differ with me on your view on how those things will happen. The main thing is you're ready and you love him and you know that when he comes back. So get prepared, yeah? The hour is none unknown. That's why all of that matters. You need to know that you're ready when he comes. Here's a funny story. You like funny stories? You might have heard this one before. I'm going to tell you it. There was once a man caught in a terrible flood. As the waters rose around him, he climbed up onto the roof and began to pray, Lord, please save me. You've heard this one? You might have heard it. Soon, a neighbor in a rowboat passed by and called up, come on, get in, I'll take you to safety. But the man on the rowboat, shouted, no thanks. He said, no thanks, I'm praying to God and he will save me. So the rowboat continued on. The water kept rising and a motorboat came next and its driver offered to help. Again, the man refused, saying the same thing, that God would save him. Finally, as the water reached the roof, a helicopter appeared overhead. The pilot lowered a rope and shouted, grab the rope, we'll lift you to safety. But the man once more replied, no thanks, I've prayed and God will save me. Soon the waters rose above the rooftop and the man drowned. Sorry, a bit depressing in that sense. When he reached heaven, he stood before God and said, Lord, I had faith in you to save me. Why didn't you answer my prayer? God replied, I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What more did you expect? And the point of that is that actually we need to be watchful. We need to be hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying because he speaks to us. And he does it sometimes very clearly. But we need to be ready and we need to be listening to the promptings of God, like the rowboat or the speedboat or the helicopter, whatever God sends, we need to go, okay, I need to grasp on to what God is saying to me. Amen? Okay, so my next question is, so the hour's unknown. Have you got enough oil? Okay, oil can represent many things. In the Old Testament, we know it was used as anointing. King David, when Samuel went to him, was anointed with oil, and it was a symbol of he was going to be king. The anointing as well talks about what God's gifted you, the gifts of the Spirit. We could talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit as well, the Holy Spirit in our lives filling us. We could talk about a symbol of God's presence even. The oil is a symbol of God's presence, okay? All of those things are valid. But as I look at this story and think about it, oil in this case gives the ability to burn and make light. Without oil, the light goes out, doesn't it? It stops burning. And basically, we need to know that we're still burning for God. Have you met people or have you been to situations where someone says they're a Christian, but they're kind of... And I'm not saying you have to be happy all the time. You don't. We can be sad. Our emotions are real. The things we go through are real. But have you been in those situations where someone's lost heart? Because people do. They get burnt out, you know, and then give up and walk away. We see people walk away, don't we, from God? And really, we get burnt out because we haven't got enough oil left. The oil has gone. You know, I hope that I always go and seek God myself so that I'm not giving you things out of a dry well or a place where the oil in my life has been burnt up. I need to go to God first, don't I? If I'm going to be a leader, I have to lead myself first, yes? And that's the same for all of us in our faith. We have to have enough oil. And where do we get that oil to keep burning? Simple stuff. First thing I'd say, if you're not having your secret time with God, you know, Jesus said, go, close the door, and what is done in secret, your Father will see. You know, those intimate times, it's a relationship. And you must go and find God. So important. And I've just put the basics here again. Are you praying? Are you reading the Word of God? And if you're not sure, if you're struggling with reading the Word, ask us. We can help you. You know, there's loads of stuff. If you go on the apps now, you can get daily reading plans that will help you read your Word. Are you coming to worship? And that doesn't have to be just here or at a concert or wherever. You can put the worship music on your phone, can't you? Sometimes I've had that on and I've been like in my house and I'm like, oh, I really needed to hear that song, and it's drawn me close to God in that moment when I'm on my own. And are you part of a church? There's a move today to say you don't have to go to church. You can do it in your own home. In fact, everyone in church is hypocrites, so I'd rather not go. Church is the body of Christ, and it's where you learn to forgive. It's where you learn to deal with people that maybe annoy you a little. And all of those things, we learn to build unity in spite of our cultural differences, our disagreements on politics, whatever it might be. It's where we learn to go, but we're all one in Christ. Yeah? And we have to be united because we have to show to the world. Jesus said, didn't he? I pray that they may be one, that they might be brought to complete unity, that the world may see that I have sent them. The standard of love we show to one another. Amen? And so basically, what I'm saying is, you need to be part of church. Those things will help you to have enough oil. And every day, this point here, every day, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Because, I mean, it's not like you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's a daily thing. The previous day, you might have picked up junk and rubbish. You might be feeling down. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me again today. I need your presence. I don't know about you. I need him every day. Because every day there's challenges, and I want God's presence to help me through those challenges. Because on your own, it's difficult, isn't it? And challenge, actually, find stillness. Who have you spent, well, interestingly, have a look on your phone and see how many hours you spend scrolling or how many minutes or whatever. This is particularly if you're younger. So if you're like maybe under 30, us oldies probably don't do as much, I don't know. I don't know how much I do. I've never monitored it. But have a look. And if you're spending loads of time on that, say, okay, I need some stillness. Because those things will push you in directions, you know. Social media is made to push you in directions. And I've said that. But you need to still your mind. because you won't hear from God when your mind is full of so much stuff. So be still, that song and that word this morning. Be still and know that I am God. You have to have those moments. Otherwise, you'll be bombarded. So go and get the oil and have enough oil so that when he comes, my lamp's full, I'm ready. Amen. And finally, and this is the challenge, and this is not easy to say to you, and some of you may even take offense at this today, but it has to be said, 5 people were locked out. They didn't get in. Now, we used to have a thing in the school in Brazil. It was be kind of in the first month of school for the high school, not for the lower school, called a lock-in. And then all the teenagers would come along, we'd shut the school up for the night. And we used to have to sign up to do a couple of hours. All the teachers dreaded it in one way. But we loved it as well, actually. It was fun. But we'd have things like bouncy castles. They'd have this, like you'd sit on a, what was it? A bull, I couldn't think of the word, and it would throw you off, you know, those kind of things, soap football, all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, if you got in, that's good, but if you arrived too late, you were locked out, not locked in, and all the fun was happening inside, wasn't it? Yeah? And the facts are, you don't want to be the person, like kids who arrive too late for lock-in, you don't want to be the person locked out, do you? You want to be the one who's inside that place that's secure, that's safe, that is God's place. Amen? And so there were 5 who were not ready. They were not prepared. Now, many talk about this as people who are in the church. So we're all here this morning. We're good. We're the ones going to heaven. Yeah? And those who are not in the church. However, this also applies to us today in the church, because we can do lots of religious stuff, you know, we can do lots of good things, but actually, am I in a relationship with Jesus? Because it's not about what you do, it is to some degree, but it's about knowing him, isn't it? It's about that relationship with him. I don't know if you've seen this bumper sticker. I wonder if it was in Forrest Gump, the film, anyway. It says, Jesus is coming back, look busy. Have you seen that bumper sticker? There's a fundamental misunderstanding in that, though, isn't there? That actually, to know that you're going to heaven, you have to do good works to get in. We know we're saved by grace, don't we? We're saved by confessing Jesus as Lord, accepting what he's done on the cross, asking for his forgiveness, and asking him into our lives. Then we do what we do because it's a love response for Jesus' work on the cross, yeah? It's not just because we're trying to do good works to get into heaven. It's not what it's about, is it? And so make sure you said, Jesus, I know you died for me. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And I confess those things to you and now be Lord of my life. This morning, maybe you haven't said, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to live for you because I know that in that place I'm safe. And so this morning, if you haven't done that, take the opportunity to enter that relationship with God. It can seem unkind that some might be locked out, can't it? Okay? We need to understand that we are like children to God, aren't we? God is God. He is a God of love, but he is also a God of total justice. And there will be a day where he goes, okay, time is done. And we have the opportunity to enter heaven. And do you know, the invite wasn't just to some, it was to all. And it is to all. The Bible says, whoever will may come, you know. Jesus said, it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The offer is there, but it's our choice whether we accept that or reject it, isn't it? I want to be the one that enters heaven. Okay, we'll go back to thinking about what eternity means later on, but we do believe there's a heaven. We do believe there's an eternal separation from God. Jesus taught on it, and we can avoid it, but it's there. And so we have to decide, let's be in the place where we're in heaven with God. I remember reading something that said, actually, we judge God. We look at God and say, well, why did you do that? Why did you do this? And it seems like God is unjust. And it does. We can look at the world and go, God is unjust. But when I read this thing, it was like one day when we meet Jesus, we'll actually weep for all the things we've accused him from, because actually we'll see that he was working for good. It says in the Bible, God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, he is ultimately good. The enemy would have you believe that he's holding something back, that he's lying, that he's unjust in some way. God is good. And when we meet him, we'll know it for certain. Amen? And so be ready. So if you're not preparing or you've not accepted Jesus as Lord, now's the time. Don't delay. Don't say, okay, I'm going to do these few things in my life, you know, and then when I reach a certain age where, yeah, I've had my fun, I'll ask Jesus into my life. And by the way, being a Christian doesn't mean your fun's all gone, okay? He wants you to enjoy life. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Amen? Okay? And I have to say to you, my life's been an adventure. It's not been without its challenges, for sure. But life with God is an adventure. He has purposes and plans for you that are wonderful. No eye has seen, no ear has known, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store for those who love him. Just imagine that. I think about that verse and I'm like, I can't really quite grasp what God is saying in that verse. I don't know about you, but I can't quite grasp it. So, we're going to draw to a close. Let me check the time, because I said to the kids a certain time. Well, we're about right. So, here's the conclusion to this. The hour is unknown. I think we have one final slide. I think. Maybe not. Yeah, here we have it. So, the hour is unknown. We don't know when Jesus will return, but we must be preparing. We must be getting ourselves ready. We must be saying, am I living out that life? Have I asked him into my life? Secondly, have you got enough oil? Are you working to make sure that you're building that relationship with God? It's like marriage, isn't it? And, you know, if you were married and you never spoke to your husband, wife, how good a relationship would you have? You'd have a terrible relationship. With God, it's a relationship. You must be talking to him and listening and seeking him. And the way to do that is the things I've said. Build that relationship with God. It's vitally important. Don't get locked out. If today you haven't confessed Jesus as your Lord, if you haven't said to him, I need you, do it today. Don't delay it until, you know, a couple of years' time. God wants you to do that today. Don't find yourself missing out on this wonderful feast and this eternal heaven and this eternal life that we have.